Word of Mouth from NHPR. I'm Virginia Prescott. You're only as old as you feel. Age is just a number. Don't worry, be happy. Sounds like empty fluff slapped on motivational posters. But what if it is more than that? What if the fountain of youth and the secret to healthy living is actually located in our minds? A psychologist set out to test the idea with a group of septuagenarians in New Hampshire. This was back in 1981. She called the experiment counterclockwise. And without the aid of a time machine, she managed to transport 8 70-year-old men 20 years into their past to see if they could reverse the aging process. Joining us to talk much more about the experiment and its implications is Bruce Grierson. He's a social science writer. He wrote the article, What If Age Is Nothing But a Mindset, for the New York Times Magazine. And Bruce, welcome to Word of Mouth.
Well, thanks so much, Virginia, for having me.
So let's start with an explanation of the original counterclockwise experiment. And this was conducted by Harvard psychologist Ellen Langer.
Mm-hmm. Well, What Ellen did, now she was just beginning her career, very early stages of her career at Harvard. She's now the longest serving psychology prof in the department there, but this was a long time ago and she was just getting going. And it was a pretty radical, ambitious, provocative experiment to try back then. But she's always been interested in what she calls youth primes, things that put us in a position where we think about ourselves as younger, or we're kind of cued or prompted to think feelings of youthfulness are triggered. I guess that's the way to put it. And so she decided that what if we could put a bunch of older people in a setting where all the cues and all the environmental prompts suggested that it was, in fact, much earlier in their life than it really was. So they sort of tricked out an old converted monastery in New Hampshire to look like it was 1959. So everything about the decor and the books lying around and the shows on the black and white TV were from 1959. And the experimental subjects were encouraged to not just sort of think of this as a bit of a lark, but actually to try to buy into the illusion that they were in 1959, that they were 20 years younger than they were. And she coached them that if they were successful at this, they could actually see some really startling changes in their physiology, actually, and they would feel and measure as younger men.
So there were no mirrors there, no photographs allowed that showed them as their contemporary selves. What did she find? Did it actually work?
It did work to some degree. They were tested before and after on a whole battery of measures, as I say. Even things that you would never expect could possibly change under those, in a week of circumstances like that. Things like hearing and vision, and there were cognitive tests, and there were, you know, stretching and strength tests. And so they got the exact same battery of tests after the experiment was finished, a week, or I think it was
5 days, I think.
5 days, mm-hmm. 5 days, yeah. They scored better on just about all those measures. And when there's a small sample size, you have to have a large effect for anybody to take it seriously. And this was a small sample. There were only 8 men. And so the effect had to be really pretty significant. And it was.
Yeah, and amazing results, but yet she never published these results. Mm-hmm. Why not?
Yeah, well, she was, as I say, she was early in her career, and I think she got a little bit scared. She just thought that they wouldn't, well, or she thought it wouldn't be published. She just didn't think that it would sort of penetrate the defenses of the judges in any major journal she sent it to, because as she keeps talking about, you know, mind-body stuff was just not very big back then. Mm-hmm. I mean, this is long enough in the past that this was all pretty woo-woo back then, and now we now know that, you know, mind-body effects and the placebo effect are real things and can be measured, and there's a fair bit of data, but back then it was pretty out there.
Well, in 1981, this sounded woo-woo, to use your term. But now, are there more of these kind of experiments being done?
I think that it's pretty well established that mind and body are pretty interconnected now. And we still don't really know the mechanisms. But one kind of hypothesis, I think that the way Ellen might frame it is that you have a kind of mental health on one side and physical health on the other. And then you have the immune system, which works as kind of an intermediary between the two. And there's lots of evidence now that, even when you think of it, things like stress management and managing loneliness and isolation, those are psychological interventions, but we know they have huge impact on our physical health. But in 81, we didn't really know. I mean, people were talking about it, but there hadn't been all that much science to establish it. And now, I mean, even looking at the science of mindfulness meditation or meditation and the effect on how that can lower blood pressure and lower heart rate, and these things are absolutely established now. So that's been a change in the last quarter century for sure.
What if age is nothing but a mindset? Well, Bruce Grierson is with us. He's a social science writer. He wrote an article in the New York Times with that very title, and he looked at a number of different placebo-based experiments on how the mind does actually physiologically control the aging process. The article was a huge hit, with hundreds and hundreds of comments from readers. Langer's current project takes this idea of the mind-body relationship and the healing power of the placebo further, shrinking tumors. Now, how is this experiment to work?
Well, Ellen decided that she really wanted to see how powerful this is, and she imagined the sort of one of the most dramatic possible outcomes you could have. And she had personal reasons for doing this too, which I talk about a little bit in the article. But she's currently undergoing an experiment where she has women with stage 4 breast cancer. They're stable. They're stable enough to travel, but this is a pretty dire diagnosis. And they are going to be brought to a villa in Mexico and given the same sort of counterclockwise intervention that those men in New Hampshire were back 30 years ago, in the sense that they're going to be brought back in time to a time before their diagnosis. And Ellen's hypothesis is that if they have similar kind of cues that will make them think of themselves as younger and sort of transport themselves back to a time before the diagnosis, they might be able to get a little bit better, mm-hmm. or shrink the tumors, I guess is the simplest way to say it. Can the effect of the mind alone have an impact on something as serious and intractable as cancer?
I'm also thinking about placebos in general. I mean, there is a thought that they're manipulative on some level, or unfair. You know, somebody gets the good cancer drug, somebody else gets the sugar mm-hmm. pill. Even cruel on some level. What is Langer's approach? How much does she let people know what's going on?
If you know what's going on, if you're told that the pill that you're going to take is in fact a sugar pill, or in this case of the cancer study, these women obviously know that that the intervention here is supposed to help them. And so what that's called is an open placebo, as opposed to the deceptive closed placebo that most of us are familiar with. And an open placebo is, yeah, if you know the pill that you're taking is a sugar pill, how can it possibly work? Doesn't that defeat the whole idea of placebo? And there's some evidence that even if you know that it's fake, that it still can work. There were some studies done with ADHD kids who were able to wean themselves off their medication, and there was a study done with irritable bowel syndrome, an open placebo study that showed that it can work. So it seems wildly counterintuitive that an open placebo study could work, but that's what effectively this cancer study is. They know that what's supposed to happen. They know that it's merely psychological, and Ellen's hope is that that doesn't matter. It'll still work.
Is there a concern, Bruce, that by claiming that the mind can heal the body, that patients who do succumb to illness or aging will just feel, you know, dejected, weaker if they can't will themselves to get better?
Mm-hmm. Well, there's the whole blaming the victim
right.
thing. And that, if you look at the comments on the following that article, there were a fair number of people who latched onto that very point. And we addressed it in the piece, and I asked Ellen about it too. And she has been actually talked to by people after her presentations and things. One guy in particular, whose wife died of cancer, and she fought it, and she still couldn't overcome it just mentally. and he felt like they'd been presented as failures because they weren't able to defeat this thing. And this guy felt that Ellen was effectively blaming the victim if they can't manage to do it. And Ellen would say that, I mean, it's a tough one. I don't think it's incumbent upon everyone to be able to beat every disease that they face. I think realistically, is this going to work for everybody? Is this going to shrink tumors? I think it's unlikely. Mm. But I also think that Ellen has done enough sound work to be taken seriously and given a chance to see whether it can.
Well, Bruce, thank you very much for running through the story with us.
Well, thanks so much for having me.
Bruce Grierson, social science writer and the author of What Makes Olga Run. The subtitle of the book says it all. The mystery of the 90-something track star and what she can teach us about living longer, happier lives. We found his recent article, What If Age Is Nothing But a Mindset, in the New York Times Magazine. You'll find a link to read the article at our website, wordofmouthradio.org.